sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Thank you. Yes, sir. Let me dig into your brain. Folks falling like rain.
Message!
Poverty got me selling things. Guess I'm gonna explain. Jane is rolled up. No gangs be throwed up. But still Andre got action. They keef. They sweat like keef. All in my teeth. That's kind of clever. I take it upon myself to handle mine. Thinking that you got ample time to do this. Have you shot? I thought you knew this. Okay. I'm crumbling. No time for fumbling. Selling my sacks. Watching my back. Wetting him up like splish, leaving him in a splash of blood. Oh, damn, of blood. The clock is ticking. Niggas from my block is missing. I'm putting it down like it be not before we all get shot. Got only so much time in this bastard. Bitter be claiming pro. But I'm leaving saying procrastinate. But I be saying they procrastinating. Settling for less. Bet be ready. When they roll up in your nest. And sink wood in your chest. And you's gone. You oughta here for good. Y'all be bobbing back and forth. To let me know. And you understood. Yeah. What's up? There's only so much time left in this crazy world. I'm just crumbling herb. Niggas killing niggas they don't understand. That's the master plan. I'm just crumbling herb. Hey, welcome and bienvenue à un autre episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. B Dot Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Okay, I felt that deserved an applause, but I'm going to skip the applause. Before I start the show, I want to remind you returning listeners, I want to remind all you listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means Rouge et Bleu is up in this bitch. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on July 23rd, 2023. On a warm July 23rd, 2023. Hey, you know what? There's like, if you were, it doesn't matter. By Canadian standard, today's date is 23-7-23. Open your third eye. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yo, there's going to be a serious fuck Whitey in today's news and random thoughts. Okay, so just to break it down for you new listeners, this podcast, these episodes are broken down into three acts. First one is the introduction, which I'm doing right now. And I do all the school announcement and shit like that. Yeah, you know what? I was about to copy Kev on stage. He says church announcement,
But yeah, so there's it's an intro. Second act is called the Use of Random Thoughts. And the last one is Final Thoughts. And yeah, in the second portion of this podcast, yeah, I'm going to have some strong fuck Whitey vibes in that one. I mean, I'm going to, yeah, it'll make sense when we get to it. So before we start, before I end the intro, I'm just going to read off a quick quote from my man. Again, still my same source. It pops up in my timeline. Shout out to my man, Talon Macy. And it goes, remember, being happy doesn't mean you have it all. It simply means you're thankful for all you have. And I share this because it relates to what I was trying to say. Or, it relates to what I was trying to say. But it's not easy being a work in progress, because part of being a work in progress is focusing on the shit you're grateful for, even in the small things. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. All right. So let's continue with the show and jump to news and random thoughts, because I got a lot of news and random thoughts to share with y'all. So let's do this. Okay. Let's go. I meant to play another sound clip, but yeah. Hold on a second. This is live on live as we go along, and someone y'all should, because it happens. It still happens. Wait, it's amazing how. Wait, what? Sorry, someone just replied to one of my sorry. Oh my God. Holy fuck. I forgot that I'm recording. I'm a funny guy. See, this is what happens, man. Again, I'm not sure if I have ADD. I very likely have it. So easily distracted. It's like, you know, it's like, hey, a dragonfly. Oh my God. Yeah. Let's go. Right. Okay. Yeah, I got to finish this because I just turned off the AC and it's kind of warm in this motherfucker. Hold on a second. I'm debating on turning off the air purifier. I don't know if you guys can hear that in the background. But then again, this is why I got this expensive-ass microphone, so you don't hear. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anyway, you know, write in. If you find if you can hear my air purifier in the background, let me know. Let me know if that shit was distracting. I'm open for feedback, especially about sound quality. Ah, man. Okay. First item. Hey, apparently, I can't use the word coon. I can use the N-word, but I can't use the word coon on Twitter. And I just noticed a pattern. Usually, when I've used it, it put me in Twitter jail. But recently, I was commenting about. I wrote a comment about fucking YouTube keeps trying. Like, I don't know about you, but I have a YouTube feed, and it keeps trying to. And YouTube takes us. Guess at the kind of shit that I want to watch, and for some reason it keeps trying to post reaction video. It keeps trying to suggest that I watch reaction video to that cracker ass, that racist cracker ass cracker, Jason Aldean, country singer. We're gonna get to that, right? He's got a song out called you probably know, called was it Try That in a Small Town? Is that what it's called? Anyways, YouTube keeps trying to get me to watch reaction video by fucking coons. Reaction video to that video, to coons responding, like I really want to hear what they're going to say. Fuck, I didn't hear no racism. You niggas need to calm down, man. The white man ain't really that bad. Wait, how's it called? Try it in a small town. Do I have this on? Yeah. If you're like going, it's called Try That in a Small Town. Yeah. Jason Aldean. Again, we'll talk about that. Yeah, coon. Oh my God. Okay. Next. Pet peeve. Oh, I feel the need to share a pet peeve before we get into like the meat of this segment. Pet peeve I want to share with you is you know what I hate is when I got a to-do list and I have a line item, you know, I have a strict line items of things that I need to do, and then the first item you do and you're fucking stuck. Like, it's probably like take apart bedroom table or whatever. So take apart something and then you go to do it and you don't have the right fucking screwdriver to do it. Like, for me, that fucks me up. Now, most most people, I guess productive folks, I imagine you just go, oh, well, we'll come back to that later. No, not me. I get obsessed with it. To be more specific, but okay, I should actually, it's not that bad. I should actually give myself a pat on the back. Okay, whoa, this is so loud. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the levels at the same time because I'm my own engineer, sound engineer. My bad, folks. It looks like I've been yelling in people's ears. Here's hoping it doesn't fuck up the post edit. All right, what was I saying? So yesterday I had, let me read out my to-do list. I had a to-do list, but I just realized that I actually finished it. And the only item that I didn't accomplish is the one item that I got stuck, that caused this segment of how I hate that one item on your to-do list that fucks it up for everything else. I hate that motherfucking item. Anyway, yesterday, I had a strict to-do list. I said, I wrote project plan for site upgrade. I had made a promise that I was going to read out the new project I have for this podcast, right? And in order to read it out, I had to write it down, right? So write out the project plan for site upgrade, which I'll cover. Episode 98 prep, which is prepare for this episode. Wash and store vegetables that I picked up at the farm. Yeah. Oh, and fix my chair, my office chair. I have this office chair. If you've heard previous episodes of this podcast, you've probably heard me start the show and complain about my fucking chair because the gas lift, whatever, right? If you have an office chair, you know how it's adjustable to go up and down. Well, that mechanism, that tool, that part that allows it to do that, well, as it gets old, and I imagine if you're a fat motherfucker like myself, it gives out. It you slowly sink into your chair. So the role was to fix my chair. I finally bought the part to fix it, but the problem is it requires disassembling the bottom portion of your chair. And there's one item, it won't fucking come out. So yesterday I've been obsessed. Because I couldn't get that part done, I neglected everything else. But I hadn't realized is that right before the show, I ended up finishing everything that I need to do. Like everything on my to-do list was crossed off except for that one chair part. So on one end, this is both a rant and a rave. Rave because I just realized that I crossed off everything on that to-do list except for that one item. And even though I haven't crossed it up, I figured out an alternate solution to my problem. So with that said, I'm going to give myself a little... Yay! Thank you. Applaud, all right? But while also ranting that I hate when I have a to-do list and I overcome my need to procrastinate and go through it and one motherfucking item. It's like, damn. I can't cross it off my list because of X. But, you know, the normal thing, the smart thing to do would be, like, keep going. But I'm not a normal person. And I will go into details in final thought. All right. What else do I have on the... What time is it? What else do I have on my rundown sheet? Okay. Oh, right. Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to use a portion of... some time from this segment to talk about how, well, first I'm thinking this is episode 98 and next is 99. I'm thinking I'm taking a break between episode 99 and 100 because it's a major milestone. One and two, I installed this, plugin on my WordPress site called, it doesn't matter, but it's to help me with SEO, with my SEO, basically search engine optimization. Basically, if you try to Google Shut Up Podcast, it doesn't come up. I'm trying to fix that shit. So I installed this plugin to get it going, but that motherfucker ain't intuitive, man. My point is, I gotta read the instruction manual. So I'm considering taking a break on the podcast before episode just to figure out that shit and to go on my web project. Now, I haven't given it an official title, so I'm just going to call it Project Web X. But the whole project is essentially, oh, I guess a quick reminder. The reason why I'm sharing this with you is because I've made you my unofficial accountability partner. I have this thing that if I tell you an objective, if I tell you this out loud, I'm more likely to do it. Because the shame of going on the on this microphone and being on this podcast and being like, another excuse to why I didn't do it. It just, I'd rather give you results on this podcast than excuses. That's what I'm saying. So all this to say, so I have a little project for myself, and it's called Project WebEx. And the objective of this project is to display my Twitter feed on the shutup.com website. Now, I haven't figured out the details, whether it's going to be on a single page or where it's going to be on the homepage. I haven't figured out that details, but I did figure out the major objective to this major steps to this project is, one, turns out there's a fucking plugin that does that shit. Amazing. In my days, you had to write stuff like that from scratch, but apparently there's a plugin that could do that. So the steps are: find the plugin that works for me, download it, install it, and then test it out. And then final step is read out the results. And if this works out great, then next step will be to do the same for my Instagram post, and then finally my TikTok post. I think I'm gonna post stuff that I've shared on this podcast. Yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. But right now, yeah, pitsy, step by step. Instagram post. Did I say Instagram? I meant Twitter post. I don't have a milestones for the next episode, but I haven't figured out what I guess download. I'm gonna take a whole week to do this. I'm gonna take a week. So I'm not gonna have an update for you. Well, I have an update and say, you know, whether it's going well or not, but I'm just saying, I'm going to give myself a week, so episode 100, it should be done by I think I can get it done by episode 100, all right? Okay, it's written, so it will happen. Manifest destiny. All right. Okay, now the next following segments, I feel, hit the core of this podcast, of what I'm about, right? And the only thing I don't have is anything Black Canadian related. I have Black stuff in there, but I don't have anything Black Canadian. You know what? Real quick. Yesterday I was listening to an episode of Canada Land. I'm going to put this in the show notes, right? Real quick. I have this bad habit of, if I put it in my notes, I talk too much about it. Right. Okay. All right. So this is going to be in today and being a Black Canadian. I was listening to an episode of Canada Land in French. Canada Land podcast, but they have a sub episode or whatever you want to call it, or different. They have a fucking episode they do in French, and it's called Détour. All right. I remember why I'm sharing this story, right? It's called Détour, and episode numéro 17, Le Queer Acadie, Xavier Gould. Okay, j'existe, je t'assure, toi, existes-tu, j'assure. Okay, so the host is Emily Nicolas, who, if you've listened to this podcast earlier before, I talk about how I was shocked to find out that she's Black, because I wasn't used to Black people speaking with her accent, French Black. Doesn't matter, that's not the fucking point, okay, but it was kind of funny, but me speaking my realization, she's Black, oh my God. I was like, Roseanne Barr, she's fucking Black, or whatever. It was an interesting episode because that's what I like about Canada Land. Every once in a while, I have an episode that makes my mind go explode, right? So they got this queer dude, non-binary artist, spoken word artist / author. His name is Xavier Gould, and he shared a poem, but he also gave his take about just existing while being Acadian, non-binary, and French. Now I say French. He speaks Acadian French, and holy fuck, that shit was hard to process. I understood what he was saying, but it was just, It was just okay. First, let me just say that I liked the, I enjoyed the episode. That's why I'm speaking about it, right? But I am confessing, hearing, that, can I, you know, homie talk, in his accent, and he's speaking in French. Fucking was, wow. It was like I felt like I was Windows trying to read a file written for Linux. Okay, that's a bad example. What I'm trying to say is Acadians speak a different version of French. They have their accent is a lot different. And like on that show, they mentioned, yeah, man, they should have fucking prepared us kids for that part of Canada, man. I thought being a Black Canadian was mind blowing. Yo, his accent, because the way he speaks French, there's a lot of English in there. And if you look through their history about being Acadian, like, you know, it makes a lot of sense. But it was a new experience for me, man. It was a different experience. And sometimes I wonder if the real reason why I had difficulty processing that person's accent is because he was fucking white. Now, when it comes to the white man's language, I don't try to be an authority on it. I said, look, white man wants me to speak this way. That's why when I think of French and English, I just obey. Okay, how do you properly speak in these languages, right? Now, hearing homie speak, he like mixes the two languages together. Now, not to say that black people, we don't butcher the white man's language. But it was hearing a white person butcher the white man's language. That's what fucked me up, man. It was like he was doing shit with the language that when I did it, I got in trouble for it. You know what I mean? I got told to go back to my country. But here's the beauty to what that person was doing, though. Is one reminding me of, yeah, I'm challenging your reality. Yes. Up until this point, you were told the world looks like this. French people speak like this. English people speak like that. I'm here to show you that Acadian, we speak in a way that fucking school did not prepare you for. And I swear, I know I'm sounding like a piece of shit bigot right now. I kind of hope, dear Acadians, I kind of hope you're simple. Nah, fuck that, man. I'm going to pull the black card on this one, man. I kind of need you to have a bit of patience with me. Have a bit of patience with me as I become more accepting of your accent. And it's just because I was told French sounds like this and English sounds like that. And there was no mixing of the two. Now, again, us Haitians, we do that. I mean, if you come in Ottawa, fuck, we butcher the white man's language. Like, we've remixed French and English together and throwing some Creole in there. Jamaicans do that too in Toronto, you know, but they don't have the French language. But for us who grew up in Ottawa and some of us in Montreal we take French, English, Creole, and some American slang and we made a language out of it. It's just weird when a white person does it or has been doing it. Because Acadians, they're not new. They've been part of the foundation of this country. They got a history. They got a history and involves the white man from England fucking up. Whatever, man. It's a hodgepodge of... I guess the beauty... Let me get to the point. What I appreciated, though, about that segment or that interaction... Hearing this person speak was what I'm trying to do with this podcast. I mix a bit of French. Like at first, I used to. I throw in the French in here, and I'm like, fuck it. I don't care if there's an American or an English unilingual English person who listens to this podcast and say I stop listening because he speaks French. Fuck it. Then you're not the target audience. I'm still figuring out. I guess I'm trying to speak to people that, okay, you know what? Like when I discovered hip hop, I was not familiar with the slang, but I learned to embrace it. I didn't say, hey, I refuse. I will reject your way of speaking until you speak in a manner I need you to speak like. Nah, I embraced it. The slang was fascinating. I took it upon myself to understand, like, look up the slang and speak it. So I guess, in a way, I'm boldly trying to do the same thing. It's like, oui, je parle de même. Des fois, je vais dire des choses comme ça. Puis c'est possible qu'il y a des gens dehors qui écoutent à ce podcast puis ils comprennent qu'est-ce que je dis. Like, they can flip between English and French. Now, if you're a unilingual English person, you're probably saying, what the fuck did that nigger just say? I'm assuming you're white. All right, but if you're black, you know, what the fuck that nigger just... you know, that was a bad impression of... Whatever, okay. But I'm saying you'll either look up the words or go with the flow, like I've been doing. It's... Episode 17 of Detour just helped me feel like I feel like I'm onto something. I feel, because the point is, people like us exist. And sure, I'm willing to accommodate. Like, if you only speak English, I'll only speak to you in English. But you're in my home. You're in my home, so I'm kind of going to need you to be a bit flexible about the shit you know and don't know. That's really... Xavier Gould just gave me an example of taking up space. You don't need to be always accommodating for people. Sometimes it's okay for people to accommodate you. That's the final thought that I, the last final takeaway that I have for that segment. But with that said, all right, okay, let me put this in. Let me add this to the note before I forget. Today in Black Canada. All right. God damn it. I'm going to add to my pet peeve when I hit the shift key, the caps key by mistake. It's not easy being me. Again, I will get to that on the last episode. All right. Okay. All right. Now I said I convinced this is pretty much all the segments that I have. Pretty much wraps up who I am as a podcaster. So we have Black Canada. Now I'm going to say today in being a highly sensitive male. This is a quick clip that I got that I heard from content creator on TikTok, and I'm sharing it with you. And it goes,
I feel like very sensitive men are drawn to philosophy because, you know, it's taboo to discuss your emotions. So you just won't shut up about your thoughts instead. It's not I am in pain. It's what is pain?
I imagine she was trying to be funny. Or she was being funny. CC Jacob. Jacob Sensi? You know what I mean. Anyway, shout out to CC. Yeah, CC. CC Jacob. That's, damn, she pretty. Damn. All right. The only response I have for this post is just like, I hear you, sis. Fortunately for me, I'm one of those people who slowly getting comfortable speaking about their feelings and emotions. So I don't limit myself as a highly sensitive male. I'm not one of those male who just limits themselves to talking about philosophy. So yes, you made me laugh. And, look, I just needed something to say that, hey, I'm a highly sensitive male and She kicked in. All right. Today in transphobia. All right. Now, I don't know if it's circulating, if you've heard that clip of Jesse Hilarious, right? She's a content creator. And I'm not going to use, you know what? I'm not good. Okay. She's an asshole. She's a fucking asshole. She just said some trans. She's got a post out and it's just transphobic to the max, and she's likely in denial about it. What the fuck? How am I transphobic? Whatever. I just don't think those people should exist. Whatever. Doesn't matter. That's not the point. She's got this clip out where she's going on some rant. She's responding to, I imagine, a trans woman saying something that bothered her, and she took it as an attack on all cis women. On cis women. But she won't use cis women. She'll just probably say natural women or some transphobic term. And here's my only point to this. Okay, well, first I'm going to play just a portion of the clip so you know what I'm talking about.
How are you projecting your anger on real women? Because we are the gatekeepers. We are the gatekeepers for periods. We the only one that fucking bleed, honey.
Oh my God, sorry. Okay, you know what? Okay, two things. The reason why this thing, this clip annoys me, it angers me, because her delivery is, hey, mission accomplished. I think I think on one end, to her supporters, she's saying, right on, sister. This is like the equivalent of, they can take our life, but they can never take our freedom. Like call to action kind of speech. But to people like me on the opposite side who are like, oh man, stop being an asshole. It's triggering. Her delivery is triggering. It's like, drip back. I want to fight someone, right? And now the link that I shared in the show notes is actually a stitch by content creator Extina Brown. And she's way more articulate than I am. And she breaks it down to why what she's saying is fucking foul. All I'm gonna say is, yo, seriously, man, black folks, we got this bad fucking habit of forgetting where we are on this oppressed class. Like, all of us, I think there's a thing with black people that we've been doing since slavery is constantly believing that, hey, we're not the N-words, we're not the niggas that white people call niggas. Like, we're better than, like white people have a hatred of with black people, but they're not talking about me. When they're talking about shiftless Negroes, they're not talking about me. When they're talking about beautiful, how black people are monkeys, they're not talking about me. In this particular case, Jess Hilarious is going on some rant about how people like her, because she's able to have periods, she's the representation of what a real quote-unquote woman is. And all my response is, sis, you completely forgot there's a gang of white women out there who are like looking at you and say, you're not one of us, you're not a real woman, shut the fuck up. What I'm trying to say is, you need to be more friendlier with trans women, because they got your back way more. They have more respect. They understand your experience as a woman way more than we do. And who do I mean by we? I'm going to say hetero males who are a member of the cult of masculinity. Hetero males, you know, not just hetero males, it's like people who still abide by the cult of masculinity. And what I mean by the cult of masculinity, I just mean toxic male, patriarchy, all that bullshit, speaking on a previously unenlightened male, it hit me one year on March 8th? Yeah, on International Women's Day. It finally hit me on one day how I've been judging all women by what's between their legs and whether I wanted to stick my dick in it, whether I want to put my dick inside of it. So basically, didn't matter if you were intelligent, didn't matter if you were didn't matter if you had all these amazing content traits. The only thing that mattered is, you giving up this pussy or not? Are you giving up the nappy dugout? She said no. Well, then get the fuck out. You know, I'm saying, there's a lot of men who've narrowed down the definition of womanhood to simply what they're willing to put their dick inside. Basically, I'm saying they're misogynists. I would not trust, I'm not talking to Jesse Hilarious, because don't wait, she listens to the podcast, but I'm saying the Jesse Hilarious and the people who sided with her, who looked at her as a call to action, who are saying stupid shit like, don't call me sis. To the people who still want to work with this narrow definition of what it means to be a woman, that same definition that these fucking colonizing ass Europeans gave us, they try to funnel that shit, like the same prehistoric biblical definition of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. I can't speak up. I can't speak out. I can't speak about what it is to be a woman. No, I'm not authority. The only thing I know is it's outside my field of understanding. I mean, there's a bit I'm able to understand, but what I'm saying is when I started to understand trans people, especially trans women, I'm like, oh shit. They have an understand about femininity, womanhood that I don't like. They have an appreciation for it that I will probably not fully understand. Like, you know, I mean, I can be respectful to women, but I can't speak about, like, I can listen to women about their experience, but there's only so much. Like, I'm never going to understand giving birth, having a period. I'm never fully going to. I just know it fucking hurts, and apparently it hurts more than getting kicked in the nuts. You know what I mean? Like it's only. I just want to end with, look, sis, trans women are not your fucking enemy. They're your allies, man. You have way more in common with them than you do to this patriarchal definition of what it means to be a woman. There. Oh my God. I felt a little smart today. Okay, hold on a second. I felt a little smart, and I'm gonna give myself a little. Not always that I get to release an idea and it comes up. Okay, let's speed this up, man. Okay, so today in spirituality, I meant to share this with on the last episode, but you know what? I needed to hear this. I forgot. So ever since I've been in therapy, I've not just therapy. Part of why I went into therapy is because I lost my religion. I had stepped away from. I think the word is deconstructed. Basically, I dropped Christianity as a religion. But by doing so, and this is what, this is something I wouldn't explain to a Christian because they just wouldn't get it. And maybe an atheist probably wouldn't understand, but a fellow ex-Christian would understand, in my understand, is by walking away, by dropping what I used to call faith, it still created a void. And part of that, and part of why I didn't know this until recently in therapy, that void has been fucking with me. I, like, out of all the reasons to be like, yo, fuck this world, fucking whatever, it's because I never found something to replace that void. So, oh, bring back Christianity. Fuck that, man. Fuck you and your crazy white Jesus, crazy cracker Jesus. All right. Oh, sorry. Just a thought triggers rage. Just triggers rage. So yeah. Anyways, and then I heard this TikTok clip, and it reminded me it reminded me of the fact that I still have a spiritual side that I need to tend to, and here it goes. This was it was very healing to hear.
I was watching this video where they said this.
If you've ever seen this symbol and been confused, it means God is greater than the highs and lows. But I personally find the variation of this, I am greater than the highs and lows, a little bit more inspiring.
I found that quite funny because for the majority of human history, the words for God and self meant the same thing. Here's a 5,000-year-old word for God, which comes from the root word atma, which means self, and para, which means highest. Altogether, paramatma, meaning the highest part of the self. So picture this, you're a villager living 5,000 years ago, and you don't say, I believe that God created the world. You say, I believe that the highest part of the self created the world, for there is no word for God other than this. So, it's actually only relatively recently due to, did we start to associate God and the self as different things? For the majority of human history, they were referred to the same concept, namely consciousness. We know this because Paramatma is a Sanskrit word from India of the Sanatana Dharma religion. All three of those things maintain their existence today, and their lineages have survived thousands of years. Today, their scholars still continue to assert that Paramatma refers to both God and the self in terms of consciousness.
My parents would lose their mind. It's like, what? Is this dude getting into some Easter? Wait, what is this? Sanskrit. That's is that Indian? Eastern? Is that Eastern? Wait, we're Western and Eastern. Eastern, your religion, y'all, you shit, you getting into that Buddhism? And shit like that. Yeah, they would freak out, man. Because to them, only the white man is capable to teach us about spirituality. That was a joke. Okay. I mean, joke based on truth. But my point is, hearing this clip reminded me of a quote by Pusha T. He says, I believe there's a God above me, but I'm the God of everything else. And part of what I hated with Christianity is the emphasis on the idea that everything that's holy, godly, is outside of you. I reject that notion. I reject that idea of, let me put it this way. I knew there was a problem where I had more faith in a white God above than I did in my own self. Like, I'm asked to believe in that, this entity, but I can't even believe in my own fucking self. What kind of God would allow you to live? Like, if your God doesn't, fuck your self-esteem, man. Just keep sucking my dick. You know what I mean? Then I can't fuck with that kind of God, man. That's what I'm trying to get at. Anyways, all right. Next item. Oh, today in church, speaking of spirituality, today in church ratchetness, right? This probably is a related messages. And for those who don't know, yes, church ratchetness is a segment that I created that I labeled for myself and where I take the time to talk shit about the church and pretty much express my rage towards the church and Christianity. And if you are a subscriber to the Black Eye Hotels podcast, yes, church ratchetness is a play on sword ratchetness. And no, I did not copy them. It's not a copy. I want to remind you, they're McDonald's, I'm McDowell's. Keep it moving. All right. So let me play this clip. And I think this is her name, the pastor speaking. Her name is Pastor something Daniels. And she's going to say some bullshit, some fucking bullshit. Here we go.
Kim and you Daniels. Can talk about the Holocaust, but
hold on. Let me play this back. Okay. So Kim Daniel, and I've heard this bullshit before, but it's just what she's about to say. I've heard this before, but it's just today I had time to speak about it. So here we go.
And you can talk about the Holocaust, but the Jews own everything. I thank God for slavery. I thank God for the crack house.
The crack house.
If it wasn't for the crack house, come on, somebody. God wouldn't have never been able to use me how he can use me now. And if it wasn't for slavery, I might be somewhere in Africa worshiping a tree. And you can talk about the Holocaust.
Oh, sure, they said that. All right, okay. You heard that bullshit, right? I've heard black Christians say that bullshit. If it wasn't for slavery, we wouldn't have learned about Jesus Christ. And to that I say, fuck you and fuck your cracker Jesus. I forgot to mention, I'm recording myself visually, by video, not just by audio. And I'm wearing a muscle shirt. And I'm not used to exposing this guy. I'm kind of feeling slutty right now. That's what I'm getting at. I just noticed myself in the reflection, but that means nothing to you for the person listening to this shit. But anyway, all right, where was I going? All right, fuck you and your cracker Jesus. Look, this reminded me at my dad's church. He used to have not just my dad's church, but Haitian church. It's very common to find a pastor who's willing to talk shit about voodoo, homosexuality, and or how kids are going to go to hell, and a whole bunch of unpractical shit. A bunch of shit that was probably inspiring when you grew up in Haiti to you, but ain't shit to us now. It's useless to us. Hearing her speak reminded me of these church leaders constantly complaining about, we keep losing our youth, and they're going to blame it on rap music, drugs, and Satan. They're going to blame it on everything on the outside. They're going to blame it on Satan. And they're never going to blame it on the fact that, hey, maybe we're saying some bullshit. Maybe we need to check ourselves. And it reminds me specifically how, out of the billion reasons on how I became an ex-Christian, on the several reasons, one of them was how they never encouraged inner journey. Looking into yourself. I mean, looking into yourself for sin and, sure. But it's kind of like taking responsibility for your action. It's like, let's blame Satan to why there's a low attendance. Let's blame Satan to why these kids don't want to come to church. Let's blame Satan to why I got to wake up my son on Sunday morning while he's smelling like cigarettes. I gotta shake him out of bed. Maybe let's blame bad behavior, you know, but not like, hey, why does he not like this shit? Why does he find this shit stupid? Yeah, man. Fuck the church. I'm just going to end it with, yeah, fuck the church, man. All right. One more to go. This week in racism. So this is the core of today's episode, right? This week in racism. And more on fuck how the hopelessness. Now, this is a Be Black thought. Okay, this is to me, but I call this week in racism and the fucking hopelessness in fighting it. More hopelessness in fighting it. Well, I'll get to that. This week, this racist cracker-ass country singer named Jason Aldean. I was debating on whether to say his name, but I'm going to say Jason Aldean. But for the rest of the episode, I'm just going to refer to him as racist-ass cracker country singer because of the alliteration. Country cracker singer, whatever. Okay, I'm okay. And first tweet, yeah. So this dude, homie, showed up on my radar after I Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips posted. It's so funny. Posted a tweet going, and I'll read the, all this will be in the show notes. He goes, country star Jason Aldean dashes off stage with heat stroke mid-song. Motherfucker got a heat stroke in Connecticut mid-song ending the concert. A fucking heat stroke. And at first, my first thought was, yeah, take that, you Yakubia devil. But I had no idea who he was. But the fact that Rod was sharing it, usually there's a punchline or there's reason to why he's sharing. I mean, like, he just listen to country. What the fuck he gives a fuck? So I Googled this asshole, and turns out this motherfucker made a song called, hold on a second, okay, block. Yeah, made a song called, titled, Try That in a Small Town, and it's a country song, right? Now, let me back up, right? Every time I hear, okay, not all country singers, okay, I should mention that. Yeah, the first time I had developed an appreciation for country music was when, what's their name? Dixie Chicks. They changed their name, right? The Dixie Chicks wrote a song against, they got shit for writing a song that was against, or that was a protest song against George Bush going to war. Hey, what'd she do again? No, going to war in Iraq or for, yeah, promoting the, whatever, man. But it was like, fuck you. It was like, fuck you. No. Dixie Chicks said something that was against the war or against George Bush, and they were attacked by their fan base. So you fuck, man. You patriot or not? Fucking nigger lover. Whatever, you know. That's how, I assume that's how their haters speak. Nigger lovers! Anyways, yeah. And then they wrote a song called I Ain't Trying to Play Nice. I'm tired of playing nice. Here, let me talk about Dixie Chicks. Let me get the right word. Playing nice. Dixie Chicks, Not Ready to Make Nice. Yeah, I love that song. Yeah, okay, all right, okay. And I remember feeling guilty about liking it.
Forgive sounds good.
All right, 56. Yeah, anyway, it's a dope song, right? But my point is, up until that point, anytime I hear country music, I assume like, ding, 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 you know, and it's like lynching music. Like, I have this idea that if a lot of black folks have been lynched to country music. Turns out there's Dixie Chicks, there's Dolly Parton, there's black country singers who got our back. Well, I'm just saying, not all country singers. But this asshole comes out and continues in tradition of the country music that I've always known for it to be, and did some racist shit. Now, he did like dog whistle level racist shit. So in his video, okay, the track again, there's links in the show notes. You can get all your background, all your information about it, but I'll summarize the best as I can. He did a song, and the whole point of the song is, yo, don't try that bullshit in small town. And by small town, he means God-fearing, American-loving, fucking straight, super straight. I only fuck my wife publicly and whatever. Like, you know, that kind of America. Middle, whatever, man. Small town. And the idea is don't try that bullshit down here. Which would have been a great song. You know, I mean, like, I would have high-fived them. Because, you know, it reminds me of rap songs where they talk about, yo, don't try that shit in my hood. Whatever, right? But then you watch the fucking video. First of all, this asshole does a video in front of a courthouse where famously, I don't know if it was just one, but black people were lynched in front of a fucking courthouse. Now, you know, how am I supposed to know? You know, that's what bothers me about this whole racism shit, is white people can take the player. I didn't know. In Canada, a very common defense against racism, against using the N-word, and say, I had no idea it was racist. Checkmate, nigger. How am I supposed to know nigger was offensive to these niggers? I mean, I say nigger and I really mean it in a good way. You know what I mean? Like that. There was a time where that would be considered a legitimate pass. But anyways. Breathe, be black. Right. So first, it starts off as in front of a courthouse where Nashville, where, you know, black people are lynched. Like, you know, how do you give a boner to a Klan member? It's like, hey, I remember that courthouse. My grandpappy celebrated the death of some nigger, whatever. Okay, that was one. Two, the whole video is, in his mind, okay, the notion is, the whole video is showing a bunch of protests, Black Lives Matter protests, and people burning the flag and shit like that. Like, I could get, like, don't burn the flag message. I could get all that shit, right? But this is what I'm getting at. This is what's so fucking frustrating about modern day racism. In the old days, it was simple. Nigger, you know what I mean? He's being racist. Now it's, oh, I'm not touching you. Basically, is you be racist without being racist. You be racist, but in a way where other white people will be like, I don't know how that's racist. You know what I mean? You're racist in a way where only two people will know you're being racist. A, fellow racist, and B, the rest of us, black folks. Or the victim of the racism, you know, the people you're targeting. While the rest, the general public, the fucking deaf, dumb, and blind are like, I don't see the racism. Anyway, so he did one of those bullshit videos. It's hey, I'm entitled to being ignorant kind of video. Of course, this asshole, like, I should mention that Jason Aldean is also the same asshole who, when there was a mass shooting, and at one of his concert, he wasn't on the mic. Yo, run, run! No, this motherfucker just. And then after, I hope everyone was okay. Too bad he didn't get shot. Too bad he didn't get one of those bullets. Right? How come? This is what angers me about this world, man. Bad people don't die enough. Anyways, so let's go back. Rod's original tweet. It talks about how. I remember Googling this guy, reading up about him, and being too angry to remember that the reason why I know about him is because Rod was tweeting about how this crackhead-ass cracker suffered a heat stroke. Now, I got to tell you, the comment section for this tweet is fucking gold. Oh, yeah. I'm going to let you go through it for yourself, but it's fucking gold. Yeah. But I remember reading up on it and his video and just being angry and thinking about how this dude, I'm not angry at him, at Jason Aldean, because he's just a performer trying to do his, I'm not a performer as an artist. He's just creating content and he wants fans. Who I hate are his fans. The supporters, the people who are like, yeah, man, ain't nothing big. You know who I hate? His fans. You know who else I also hate? The fucking black folks who've been showing up on my YouTube channel talking about, I don't see how this is racist. Fuck. I hate you coons. Shout out to my podcast because I get to say coon and call them coon. Shout out to you. Yeah, man. Fuck you, Uncle Ruckuses, man. Anyway, yeah, man, that pissed me off this week, man. That's, this Jesus, his, I guess what it is a lot of people have been talking about this video, and it gets me that this dude figured out great promotion for his shit by triggering people like me, by poking at our fucking wounds. It just drives me. It's one of those moments, like, I've been joking, I've been expressing all kinds of feelings, but bottom line, it's one of those things that makes me feel hopeless against this war, this fight against racism. It's like, why the fuck would a white person want to get rid of racism? Even when they're fighting it, they benefit from it. Even when they're indulging with it, they benefit from it. Even when they're, like, practicing racism, they benefit, like, I gotta tell you, man, racism has probably gotta be the greatest adventure white people created for themselves. Yeah. Anyway, I got more clips about this video. You can check out more. Shout out to my favorite one is, like, a lot of the thoughts is, hold on.
You know what bothers me?
Sorry, her name is Dara Star Tucker. Really? Tucker? Anyway, yeah. Dara Star Tucker, and she has. She shares a take on the video, and it just made me say, one, shout out to articulate black folks, and two, shout out for intelligence, and three, God bless you for sharing it. And yeah, it's going to be the first link under, hold on, what did I label this link? Oh, I just called it that racist cracker country singer, because I didn't want to use the name Jason Aldean. And you'll get to hear her take on it. And it was just brilliant. Just brilliant. All right. Yeah. Brilliant. Hold on a second. Let me fix my note. Okay. I'm going to fix my note while y'all here. Oh, pretend mouth. Hold on a second. It's going to be a way to. Let me clear my throat. Okay. Let me. And then. Oh. How about if I do. So I'm trying to fix some indent. I tell you what. Okay. All right. I'll fix this. All right. Next in. Last item I have in today's racism is. Oh, right. Okay. Kamala Harris blasts Florida's new education standard on black history. Now, this is what I meant where this is going to be a fuck whitey heavy episode. And, let me just play this clip by CBC. If you didn't know, let me just play this clip.
Vice President Kamala Harris slamming.
Oh, what is this? GMA? Oh, Good Morning America. But here we go. And shout out to Kamala Harris. Shout out to Kamala Harris and motherfuck middle finger, like cracker of the day would be, like whitey of the day would be Jason Aldean and Ron DeSantis. And here's why.
Vice President Kamala Harris slamming Florida's controversial new education standards on black history and growing reaction now across the country. ABC's White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks joins us from the North Lawn with more. Mary Alice, good morning.
Good morning. We've seen some schools, parents, civil rights leaders, and now the White House, too, speaking out against these new curriculum changes in Florida, calling them revisionist and a disservice to students.
This is unnecessary. To debate whether enslaved people benefited from slavery. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
This morning, Florida's Board of Education under fire after passing new curriculum standards that educators in the state and across the country say try to gloss over the horrors of slavery in the United States. Included in the new guidelines, a requirement that middle school students be taught, quote, how slaves developed skills, which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit.
All right, okay, you can watch the rest of it. I'm heated listening to it. Again, links to the rest of the article to this clip is in the show notes, but you get the basic idea. So if you've been here, Florida's been like on some bullshit, man, and just getting dumber and dumber and dumber. Look, dumber and dumber and dumber, but here it is, man. What I hear is Ron's sentence is, if that dude becomes president, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Yeah, I did say shout out to Kamala Harris for speaking out. I was going to play this clip by this other content creator. Hold on. All right. It goes, instead of being mad at Florida State Board of Education, y'all want to be mad at Vice President. Yeah, some people are mad at Vice President Kamala Harris for calling them out. Fuck, seek help. I agree with this content creator. But anyways, yeah, it just, the idea, first of all, it fucking bothers me, but that's where we are. That's where we are. People are incensed. It bothers me because I'm very sensitive towards, it's hard enough that I'm sensitive, but I'm very sensitive when it comes to racism. And dealing with processing it has been a challenge for, I mean, I cope day by day, but it's never easy. It's never easy, right? It's never, I mean, I've been practicing, but it's not my favorite part of existing while black. Let's just put it that way. And yeah, so it bothers me that it has to be said, black people did not benefit from fucking slavery. It bothers me there are white people like that going, hold on, we gotta hear both sides. Hold on. But that's education. That's the world. That's the card we've been dealt with. That's the world I live in. There's gonna be, like, I won't be surprised. Okay, luckily I don't work with coworkers where we discuss race, because I would fucking Dracarys them. No, that's not the reason why we don't discuss it. But I've been avoiding, like, I've been code switching, but I've been avoiding being open about race, speaking about race with, but like showing any kind of leaning, like, I'm the black guy you could speak about race to. I've been I used to do that at my old work. I was willing to be like, hey, I'm willing to be your black friend who educates you about racism. I wanted to realize that fucking white fragility will not allow white people to understand anything about race. But whatever, that's not the point. But yeah, I've been avoiding doing that. But I can't picture a white person going, hey, so can we talk about the benefit of racism, of slavery? You know, it's like, the idea of explaining how black people picked up special skills by being slaves. It's like, imagine a fucking kidnapper. I tweeted this, by the way. A kidnapper talking about, hey, yeah, sure, I kidnapped your kid, but your kids developed special skills while under my custody. Like how to stop crying like a little bitch. Sorry. Like a little bitch for your parents who weren't coming to rescue you because these doors are well sealed. I taught your kid how there's no fucking escape. How they should fear me instead of hope for their parents. You know, I'm just saying it's cruel. It's a fucking cruel thing to do. But that's the world we live in, man. It's acceptable to be like, slavery wasn't that bad. I mean, yeah. You know, I've been thinking about this shit, right? I don't think there is a right way to share a country with the people who used to oppress, with the people who are oppressing you, who used to enslave you, who've kidnapped you, who've forced you in this country to build it on freely. I don't think there's a right way to come out of that. Just like, I don't think there is a right way to reconcile, to reconciliation. I don't, like, I'm willing to confess. I'll confess that maybe I am just a little, it's the hopelessness speaking in me. The hopelessness, maybe I am jaded, maybe I am bitter. I wouldn't have this discussion with the younger generation because, you know, they're full of hope, so I'm going to let them fight. Basically, if you don't try, ain't nothing going to happen. I'm just on the side where I feel like I've been trying and fuck. Shit just feels hopeless, man. Shit just feels hopeless. Even though, I mean, there are progress, but I'm just saying for myself, like I've been telling you, man, I'm very sensitive to racism and constantly going against it and hearing bullshit like that have just fucking made me want to holler. Just want to kind of quit and give up, man. With that said, I promised myself to end on a more positive note, so I'm going to share the fact that I'm going to share this last clip, and I call it The History of White People, and courtesy by the content creator that I've shared this person's content before. His name is Garrison.
How did
Hayes.
White people be?
God damn it. I hate when I hit the pause button and it doesn't pause. All right. Okay. So shout out to Garrison Hayes. And this is my attempt to, if I had to explain to a white person, God forbid, because I live in Ottawa, right? If I had to explain to a white person why I'm pissed off at this, we got to hear both sides of slavery, or why I'm pissed off at Jason Aldean. I would be like, fuck that. Before, in order for me to take you seriously, I need you to take some time to understand the fucking history of how you became a white person. And shout out to Garrison Hayes, because he'll give you a hint. And here he goes.
How did white people become white people? I'm so glad you asked. I find that most white people have no idea how they came to identify as white.
No fucking idea.
And because they don't know that history, they often fundamentally misunderstand the legitimate critiques of white identity politics. White people didn't exist before the middle of the 17th century, as in the middle of the 1600s. And if that rings a bell, it should. More on that later. This isn't to say that lighter-skinned people didn't exist. Of course they did. Europe is a real place with real people who have been there for a very long time. They just didn't identify as white people. They were Englishmen, Dutch, Greek, Gaul, Scythian. Princeton history professor Dr. Nell Irvin Painter chronicles the invention of this diasporic pan-European white identity in her book, The History of White People. She demonstrates how white identity was constructed primarily as a differentiation from black identity, an identity that colonizers and human traffickers made synonymous with enslavement and inferiority. And so the myth of whiteness, moral purity, superiority, and ruling destiny was born, which is kind of ironic since the origins of the term slave refer to Slavic folks, white people. Whiteness is and always has been a political identity. A fraternal order, a loyalty rewards program that depends entirely on all of its members agreeing to maintain the myth. And let me tell you, some folks are working very hard to maintain it.
There we go. All right, so this ends this week in racism and the hopelessness and fighting it. The last segment for, because we're still in news and random thoughts. It was appropriate to just end on a joke. And here we go. It goes, I dedicate this to us different folks. All of us who are, I say different, but this comedian just breaks it down better for me. But before I hit,
there we go. I don't think any.
Fuck. Sorry, hit pause. The content, her name is Taylor. She's a white woman. All right. Taylor, comedian's name is Taylor Tomlinson. Tomlinson, right? And this next joke she's about to make is just so on point. And I'm just going to play it because, you know, to kind of lift up the spirit a bit. I'm playing it because it's funny, and A, because it's on point. And here he goes.
Anybody should feel bad if they get diagnosed with a mental illness, because it's just information about you that helps you know how to take better care of yourself. Yeah. Being bipolar, there's nothing wrong with it. Being bipolar is like not knowing how to swim. It might be embarrassing to tell people, and it might be hard to take you certain places. But they have arm floaties. And if you just take your arm floaties, you can go wherever the hell you want. And I know some of you are like, but Taylor, what if people judge me for taking arm floaties? Well, those people don't care if you live or die. So maybe who cares?
Yeah, fuck them.
Maybe fuck those people a little. I don't know. That being said, you have to take your arm floaties. Because it's not cool to know you can't swim, go to the public pool anyway, and jump into the deep end, making it everyone else's problem. And you're thrashing around going, I'm good, I'm good. They're like, you're literally drowning. And then someone nice and handsome jumps in to help you. And you're like, see, I'm fine. I can totally swim. And they're like, no, you're holding him underwater. You turned Kevin into an arm floaty. And that's not a fair relationship for Kevin. Then someone floats by you on their back. And you're like, what was that? And they're like, oh, that's someone whose parents supported them in the pool. Until they could be trusted not to die. Here are your arm floaties.
All right, finally. Okay, this concludes user random thoughts. So let's jump to final thoughts so we get the fuck out of here. Let's go. All right, I'm a little mad at myself because I always do this too. It's because, fuck it. Let's just give it a try. We're going to attempt. I'm hoping to do this a very short segment here. Okay, not too long. It's already been recording for an hour or 9 minutes. And, okay. All right, so what's up with today's title? Crumbling Urn. And the reason, let me find my notes to why I'm sharing this. Crumbling Urns by Outkast. And initially, first time I heard this song, I just loved the idea of, yo, you're just coping in life and using marijuana, weed, as a way to cope, to give you a little happiness in this life. Now, the reason why I'm sharing it, hold on a second, because I can't do two things at the same time. The reason why I'm sharing it, I'm trying to remember the note, because I had a moment this week where the thought, I forgot to mention, the episode of today's title is 098, Folks Falling Like Rain, and it's a line from the first verse by Andre from the song Crumbling Urn. And I just had a moment where I felt at a temporary moment of weakness where I was finding myself wishing I was quote unquote normal. Something happened and it just reminded me that, all right, I am not like them. And I was just, and the thought that crossed, the specific thought to my mind is, this crazy world. I'm trying to survive in this crazy. I am not like them. I was not made to survive in this crazy world. Like, it's wild. Is I had a moment where, this is a new feeling of like I don't fit in. Now it's fucked up. I've always felt as a black kid that I didn't fit in this Canadian society. Now, as an adult, I have these feelings every once in a while I bumps in that says, like, I don't fit in planet Earth, this fucking life. I was not meant to be part of it. I was not meant to be part of this crazy world. All right. you know what? If it doesn't make sense to you, for you, deal with it. Just roll with it, right? Why I made that association, it just is what it is. But it's when I say normal is I wish I went back to feeling how I wish I was one of those people who didn't need a floaty to swim. Now, again, don't have ADD, but I do shit like go see a therapist. I am speaking in a podcast by myself, hoping to reach someone who I don't know exists, but hope exists. Like I do things that are not considered quote unquote. You know what? Okay. You know what's weird is I know there's no such thing as being normal. I'm processing that. I know there's no such thing as being normal, and yet it's something that I want for myself. I remember the first time I started wearing glasses. Like, I was going to talk about how I hated school. You know, I love learning, but I hated school. There's a clip in there in the show notes that you could go through called I Love to Learn, But I Hated School. And this dude breaks down about how education doesn't reward smart people. It rewards obedient people. But anyways, this clip just had me thinking about how much I hated school because it always made me feel stupid. Like, it contributed to the idea of you don't fit in. It just fed the idea. That's all school did for me. It didn't nurture my need to learn. It just kept reminding me that you don't fit in. You see this C you got? You don't fit in. You see this F you got? You see this grade you got? You see how you don't understand what other people are able to understand? You see how you're not able to do these? You see how these guys are all getting rewards? You don't. It just fed the idea of not fitting in. And I guess I was just thinking about how when in first grade, I remember not being able to sleep. Before I went into first grade, I was so excited to go to school because I remember I'm finally going to learn how to read. Fast forward to third grade, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden my passion, my love for school just went down. I can't pinpoint it. It's the one thing Haven't been able to investigate it, but I can tell you that it was starting in third grade that my hatred towards school started. And the other thing about third grade, it also reminded me how it was also the time when I started wearing glasses, I believe. Oh, it was only in grade five? Yeah, okay. I started to wear glasses, but I remember how much I hated wearing glasses because basically, I was refusing to accept that's who you are. That's your situation. You got shitty eyes. You got to wear glasses. It's like, no, I want to be like everyone else. I want to be one of the normal people. Anyway, yeah, I just had a mood this week that reminded me how that brought me back to that feeling of wishing I was normal, of not enjoying accepting who I am. And yeah, that's what this title represents. Folks Falling Like Rain. That's what this choice of title represents for me. Is that's part of my journey, I guess. Part of my journey is, bottom line is, being more accepting of myself and myself. The fact that I'm sensitive to racism or just sensitive about anything. The fact that you talk to me wrong, then you're gonna have to get dealt with. The fact that I see the world, process this world differently than the average human being. I guess it's another way of saying I was reminded of my journey into being a more authentic human being. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. With that said, I'm going to end with another quote that I could have read at the intro, but I felt like sharing it in final thoughts. It goes, again, shout out to my man, Talon Macy. He goes, maybe the people that don't get it aren't supposed to. I used to have this obsession of being understood by everyone. Like, I hate that feeling of being misunderstood. Like, that used to be my trigger, my like, all you had to say was, I understand what you're saying, and I would be obsessed in trying to get you to understand, while realizing that maybe they're just people on this planet, it just is what it is, just aren't meant to understand you. A lot of my challenges with this podcast, especially with promoting this podcast, is I know, all I can picture, anytime I think about this podcast and this general public, all I'm able to pick, like, this is really not helping my vision, the exercise of being, you know, when you place a vision of seeing the future, a positive future. Well, every time I try to imagine being successful with this podcast, all I can imagine is being heard by people who weren't meant to understand me. That's all I can think about, being heard by people who, everything I'm going to say just goes over their head. All they're going to have is criticism. All they're going to have is, you know what you should do? No constructive criticism. Well, they're going to use the word, I'm giving you constructive criticism, while completely being oblivious to what I'm actually trying to do. What I'm saying is, what I appreciate about this quote is accepting the fact that there are people on this planet who are just aren't going to understand me, and that's okay. It doesn't mean I don't deserve to exist. It doesn't mean I'm not entitled to happiness. It just means they don't understand me and we don't have to be friends. I'm gonna leave it at that. And this finally concludes. This finally concludes today's episode of, God damn it, hold on, my mouse is not, come on, man, don't embarrass me. Okay, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Yay! All right, it's a little long. All right, like usual, holler at me. You could go on Twitter while Elon Musk hasn't fucked it up. You can holler at me on Twitter, going use with through B Blizzak or Shut Up Podcast on TikTok at B.Black, or just go straight to the website and find me on ShutUpPodcast.com. You know, I'm on Instagram and Thread, but doesn't matter. But yeah, for shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website. Oh my God, I forgot. I got some better news. I got some good news. Yeah, I've been making some progress, okay? You can find me on RSS feed to subscribe to this podcast. Use the RSS feed that's on this website. Go to Google, Apple Podcasts, and Podchaser. This is me giving myself props because I actually got, I accomplished something. I'm getting close to, you know, petit, progress by little, progress by progress. But, you know, I got to holler at that dude from Precision Nutrition, my coach, Zach. Sorry, Zach. I've been meaning to holler at you, man. But anyways, I'm on it. Not that he listens to this podcast, but I'm just saying, yeah, I got to holler at that dude. With that said, yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.
I am your king now.